is Nora.
And this is Ashley.
And welcome to
I Needed This.
This is the moment that you need. So we want to invite you to get into your safe space, whether you want to go for a jog or a run, get your spa water with the cucumber, the lemon, or your tea, your coffee, whatever it is you need right now.
Yes.
Get into your safe space, your quiet time, and just connect with us.
Yes. Here,
and today we're talking about body image.
Yes, body
health
image.
And wellness.
Which is a great topic. By the way, I don't want to stop us, but if you are looking at us via video, if you want to, I want to shout out to Sharetta Galladay. I'm wearing a blazer from her.
Period.
Sponsorship from SG Luxury.
Yes.
And then we're going to be able to post, I'm going to post more pictures to our podcast Instagram so you can see it up close and personal, right?
Yes.
So that's one of the things, you know, I love about this show is that, you know, able to represent the brands that you know, we're able to represent. So I don't want to mess us up with this.
Absolutely. But that's part of your image, right?
Yeah,
so we are in the process of just developing our image. And this is something that we all do every single day. Like we all think about, how do I want to show up in the world? You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
And I think brands like Sharetta. Brands like hers help us represent ourselves even more. So shout out to her.
Yes. Thank you.
But today we're talking about image.
Yeah.
Self-image. And that can mean what you put on, how you wear your hair. I think I've read something this morning about the Crown Act, about how it's crazy that there has to be a law to stop discrimination against how you wear your hair.
Isn't that crazy?
It's like, what? Yeah. I don't understand. Yeah. Like, why are we even having this conversation?
Exactly. It don't make sense to us.
There's certain things that we inherit from our family members, just like even the way we eat, the way that we, you know, engage. Like, I think I heard a podcast where somebody was saying, like, she grew up around all boys, so they all played sports every day, so fitness was really important to them.
Mm.
But then in some families, you know, you might go out to eat every week or every day or, you know, DoorDash all day.
Straight up.
So there's certain things, certain strengths and certain weaknesses within families and within cultures that affect our health.
Yep.
Right. Affect even just like generation, like they say, hereditary diseases.
That's true.
Right. So there are things that show up in our bodies.
Because it's patterns. They're really judging how you will be by the patterns of your family. So
that's why
they ask in backgrounds, because that means that more than likely you'll be introduced to that pattern.
Yeah.
So if your mom have this, then you probably have it because you probably eat the same way that she eats. Right. And so sometimes, a lot of times, it's brought from that. Like, we could
absolutely
estimate what you're going to look like, but based off their history.
And then it's not just physical health, but it's also mental health.
Oh my goodness.
Right?
Yes.
And it's also like how you see yourself in the world, how you show up in the world, your insecurities, your self-esteem.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? How you feel about yourself. And even like sometimes how your humility, or like if you're showing up confidently or you're showing up like in strength or not, you know what I'm saying?
Especially what you've been told. Like if you grew up and someone had a certain thing about your body image, you show up no matter, even if you lost the weight, you still walk in the room with the confidence of who you were. And so I've seen that show up, like even in certain areas, like I can echo something someone said to me. And even though I'm not at 6 years old, at 30 some, I'm still wrestling with that thought. Like, man, am I trying to be this? Am I trying? So I think this conversation is needed, and I hope our listeners can kind of identify themselves in this conversation too.
I like what you said there, because especially if you are used to achieving at a high level, or like if you, like say even like as a child, you start off, say you're smart in school, or, you know, you show up basically where people like you or you're popular. Sometimes that can show up in different ways, because people can also criticize you. So it can attract, you know, that negativity sometimes, and people can, basically you have haters, right?
Yeah. And early, maybe your own family sometimes.
And then you, sometimes, a lot of times you'll end up playing small because of what you don't want people to say. Oh, I don't want people to think, you know, I think I'm cute, or, you know, I'm coming off too, I don't want to come off too strong.
Don't be too much.
You know what I'm saying? And so now you're playing down, you're playing small because, you know, because of what you don't want people to say.
And people are going to say it anyways. But it reminded me of me growing up in Gifted and Talented, right? And I used to have, my grandma used to be like, oh, you think you this, you think you that. And I'm like, no, actually, I was just being I didn't, you know, I'm too young to even think like yeah. that. But now that kind of messed with my confidence in a little when I'm doing things. It's like, well, am I doing too much? Because I do a lot. Yeah. But it's always something that's like tugging. Like, okay, I think you're doing. So sometimes I don't even wear certain earrings because I'm like.
Yeah, I know. I struggle with that.
I'd be like, is this making too loud of a statement? Is this making too much noise for me? Because I want to be low key. I mean, I want to be cute, right? But I don't want to be too much.
I don't want to stand out.
I don't want to stand out. And so sometimes I choose outfits to where I'm not standing out. And sometimes when I do one, it depends on how my confidence level is, because it's like this. It's not like it's all
so
way.
True.
It's
so
like a
good.
Wave. Some days I'm confident. Like me and Chris went to Vegas. I was like, I want an outfit to stand out. I'm going to do this, do that. And I did it. But then there's sometimes I'm just like today, like I'm just like,
I
want to chill. You know, and so that has a lot to do with how we grew up and what we heard. What are the voices attached to that?
Sure.
I mean, I really should like sit and be like, what is the voice attached to this?
Yeah. Or like, where is this coming from? Where is this thought coming from? Or like, where did it start? Like, when did I first have this thought?
Yeah.
Where did that come from?
So can I ask you a question?
Sure.
Do you realize or recognize your first voice of hearing about your body image? Like, what was the voice as it related to that?
Ooh, that's a good question. So I had a relative, and basically this relative would basically tell me I was fat.
Really?
Yeah. Like growing up. And so she and I, like, we were very close. So she and I would, you know, we grew up together, went to school together or whatever. And she would basically look at me and be like, oh no, you know. So basically she was like a tomboy.
Okay.
And I was more so like feminine, and I wanted to wear like, remember the Parasuchos?
Oh yeah.
Like I wanted to wear the Parasuchos.
Come on now. Yeah. First
like I wanted to dress, you know, nice or whatever. But you know, I think just as my body was developing in elementary school and middle school, and like I started getting, you know, a body.
Yeah.
My sister was like, well, you know, I don't think like it wasn't even my sister. It was my family that was like, oh, you're trying to be too sexy. You're trying to be too provocative.
But that was just your body.
That was just my body. I mean, that's just my body because I was curvy.
Yeah.
At a young age of like maybe fifth grade.
Yeah.
You know, so even just taking that image now, I'm like, there's always been a question like, okay, am I showing up too sexy? Am I, you know, am I showing too much?
Yeah.
Am I standing out too much? Mm. Like even, it was a long time before I felt comfortable wearing even red lipstick.
Really?
Yeah. So it's like, no, you don't wear red lipstick, you know, cause it's a statement like hookers wear red lipstick.
Yeah. So it
you
know stems what I mean? To something.
Yeah. So it's this, what do you call it? Stigma. It's this stigma associated with, you know, just how Black women show up, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And who we are. So.
But
yeah,
even
that's,
in our
that's
hair,
kind of the first voice.
I think, well, thank you for sharing that because what you said I stands out when you're talking about even about the lipstick. It could be something as settled as lipstick that can literally draw you back to something. And then the curviness and all of those things. And I don't care, as you evolve, like you're saying, like sometimes those things flash back and be like, am I doing too much?
Yeah.
It's never the positive voices. Like, you look good in this.
And the crazy thing is, like, as my daughters, as I see them getting older and I see them developing, I see beauty.
Yes.
But it was the same beauty that was in me.
Yeah.
But no one ever was like, oh, you girl, you got a body. You beautiful. Like, it was literally, like, the exact opposite.
Yeah.
But I just make sure, like, now, even just taking that lesson in affirming the people that I see around me, like, girl, look at that. Oh, look, you doing that.
Yeah.
And I love the people that do affirm me even more for it. Because I, you know, sometimes when you don't have those words of affirmation, especially when you're young and when you're fragile, when you don't have that, sometimes it leaves you to second guess, right?
Yeah.
So I think that was the voice from just coming from a young age of like just developing myself in self-confidence and developing my body image. Because you're always going to be comparing yourself, especially when you're young.
Yeah.
You look at the magazines, you watch BET, remember the music videos, MTV, right? So you're looking at, you know, these chicks with the flat stomach and the belly rings and the bikinis.
Like,
and
you're like, I'm going to be that.
Like, this is my role model.
The video girls. I want to be a vixen.
Video vixens.
Yeah,
right? But it was like, that was the thing.
Yeah.
And, you know, That's what guys, boys were responding to.
Oh,
at the
man,
time.
I want Nelly to drop water down my body. Nelly. Okay, no, Nelly just got like, married, though.
It was immature. Remember Immature?
Oh, you Immature. Girl, B2K. Man, come on now. Take me back. John Listen, B. All okay. them, right? Okay, yeah, because those are the ones that they looked at in these videos. So sure. that makes a difference, and that makes sense, because it's that pattern is still today.
Yeah.
Like, there's different players in the game, but these our kids are still dealing with those image too. Yeah. It's like the flat. You know, my daughter is curvy too, so it's like, how do I deal with, because the girls that I'm looking at are not curvy,
right,
and they're getting the attention of these people, and so what do I need to do with my body too? So no, I definitely
and I think
understand.
Now like you have more like body positivity,
yeah,
but it still takes that intentionality of saying, okay, because you do see more like different shapes on television, right? So you know, but now I think it takes that intentionality of saying, okay, you know, I accept my body for who I am,
yeah,
because nobody else is. Nobody else can be you. Nobody else can be shaped like you. Nobody else is going to look like you. Like, nobody else is going to have your hair texture. Yep. It's only one you. So, like, you broke, like my sister always says, when God made you, he broke the mold.
Yes.
Like, you're unique, right? Yes. You're fearfully and wonderfully made. So, even just accepting, like, okay, I'm good like this. Like, this is good.
Yeah.
And a lot of times, we tell ourselves that we're not good by saying, I should be like this.
Man, that's so good. Because we kind of be leaving room for ourselves to say, like, these are the expectations. And it's like, that's why I think it's good to own who you are.
Oh, absolutely.
Because if you own it, nobody else can own it. And so I feel like that's the big piece of this conversation, too. Yeah. It's like, what do I say? Oh, you know, I was thinking, too, I was reading the Bible, and, you know, when Jesus was asking, who do they call me? Who do you know?
That's good.
And what do you think? Like, what do you call me, right? Mm-hmm. And what do they call me? And so I think about that, too. Like, God, what do you call me? And what do I need
That's
to call
so good.
Myself?
Because, so good, so
you know
good.
What I'm saying? Like, who do you say I am?
So, okay.
Yeah.
Was your thought finished?
It's finished.
Okay. I wanted to ask you the same question about what was the first voice that you received and that you owned as your own, like, as far as your image and your body image and your health?
That's, you know, I think as I was a tomboy growing up, I wasn't one who liked dresses. I wasn't one who liked stockings. So I was always ridiculed for stockings being stretched out. Dresses I did not want to wear. But because that, my dad is actually, my dad is actually once we picked our clothes out.
Okay.
And me and my older sister, we always had matching dresses, and I hated it. I mean, I felt like there was no freedom in it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I felt like whatever they bought her, they just said, just get Ashley one of those two. No, I always felt like my clothes, my outfit was like, get her that too.
Yeah, yeah.
And so my body, as far as my body, I felt like I was always put in something that I did not want to be in. And so there was no freedom or uniqueness in what I was, just a stamp of whatever my sister was. Yeah, so you saw her, you saw me. Mm-hmm. And so that, my first image. Yeah, I mean, growing up, I was big. They used to always call me Fat Mama. That was my nickname, was Fat Mama. Oh. But that, I don't think that necessarily stuck with me as an issue, because I, you know, I was just athletic growing up.
Yeah.
But it made me feel like I wasn't girly enough. Am I a girl?
I feel you.
You know, because I don't want to wear that. I want to wear this. Okay. It took me in my 20s and 30s to really embrace my uniqueness.
Yes.
Like, yeah, I'm going to throw in a baseball cap, but I'm going to be cute, and I'm still going to be a girl.
Yes.
You know, and I think this image of what women should be sexy, and I'm like, I can still be sexy. Yes. I think to be able to be fluid in whatever, like, for if sure. I like this, I'm going to wear this, and I can make it my own. So it's like, well, what makes it look like Ashley?
Mm-hmm.
And so that image thing has always been big. Even being light-skinned was an issue growing up for me, because there wasn't a lot of light-skinned people in my family, in my dad's side. And so growing up, I was light-skinned and my brother with light eyes. We were only two. And so there's a lot of issues with that. It's like, oh, you think you're better than this person because you're light-skinned. And, are you really black?
Because
you're light-skinned. You know, so image in that, I always shrink out of conversations when it comes to black conversations when I was younger. Because it's like, do I have a say in this because I'm light-skinned? Because I've been told that I don't. Can I love my skin? Because if people are dark-skinned and people are saying that they love their skin because they're, you know, as they should, and I appreciate it, can I say I love my skin and publicly without backlash?
Right.
And so I think sometimes when people talk about women, and even now, they're like, well, men always want the women with the light-skinned and the long hair, blah, blah, blah. And then it's like, well, I kind of like myself too. So, but I love people of all color.
Absolutely.
I just 100%. Find beauty. I think we were talking about this today off camera. Nora and I was talking about beauty and having the eye for beauty. Yeah. And so I was saying that Nora is a great storyteller. And so I feel like because she captures the beauty of something. And so only people who are artists who can capture the beauty of something, I'm like, Nora can tell a story of a tree because you can capture it. You know the beauty of it, and you can capture the story because you're captivated by it. And you allow us to see what you see as an artist, wow, right? And so I think that's the beauty we have when we can see people like that. Like, I can look at people and find the beauty in them because of...
There's literally beauty in everyone. Oh, it's literally just a matter of, do you see the beauty in yourself enough to invest in yourself and take care of yourself?
Say that again, please.
I don't know what I said. No, I'm
just, do you see the beauty in yourself?
Do you see the beauty in yourself enough to invest in yourself and take care of yourself?
That's it, because it doesn't matter if you show up in a halter top or crop top, or you decide to you know, however you dress it up, mm-hmm. however you decide to do. Yeah. It's like, I want to invest in me because I think I've read something about, be careful what you say to your girls. Like, if they ask you about makeup, it's not to say that you're making yourself pretty.
It's
just that, you know, it's just something that you want to play in. You just want to be fancy. That's it. Yeah. And so that's all it is. It's like, I'm already beautiful. You ain't got to tell me that I'm not. You ain't got to tell me that I am. Affirmation is great, though.
Yes, it is.
Can we plug that in? I mean, it's great to encourage somebody else. Sometimes when I'm looking, I want my husband to be like, yo, you're doing it.
Okay, but here's the thing. I like what you said about you don't have to tell me. And I think that's the place where I'm getting to now, where I'm actually telling myself.
Yeah.
But I think for me, that journey took actually investing time in my health, eating better, taking time, working out.
That's good.
Like spending money to hire a coach. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like actually investing and actively loving on myself in a way that I can receive it. And in a way that, like, it's just like a flower.
Yeah.
If you don't, you have to water it.
Yeah.
You have to give it sunlight. You have to have attention. You got to think about the flower. That's all my plants be dying.
Yeah.
Because I don't be thinking about the plants.
But your husband is amazing at bringing plants back to life.
That is true.
He's like the plant whisperer.
Literally.
He came to the house. My plant was on the sink, and he was like, you were so close to the water, but you still didn't make it.
I remember that. Like, you was right there. The water's right there.
Couldn't even make it. Couldn't even get a drop.
I know the plant's like, just
water splash me just a little bit. And an arrow comes to save these plants all the time. Bless his heart. He's a prince.
But we need that attention.
Yeah, like, we do.
We can't just look at the water.
Yeah. He'd be like, oh, this is beautiful.
We got to drink the water.
We have to drink it.
Stay hydrated.
We have to be in the attention of it, like the sun and all of those things. Like, we have to be attentional about what makes us feel good. Mm-hmm. And sometimes people might not understand, why she pay all this money for this? Why she do this? Why she spend this money at the spa? Mm-hmm. Because that makes her feel good. And she's investing in herself. Why does she pay this money for a trainer? Because it makes her feel good. Actually, working out, and I'm going to ask you, because I like working out. I couldn't work out, I felt bad, but it does something to my confidence.
Yeah,
I feel good. I'm like, oh.
It's a mental health thing,
I feel healthy. Mm-hmm. My husband might get some the day that I do it because I feel sexy. But when I don't work out, I don't feel good. I don't feel good about myself.
Yeah.
So even if my husband hitting on me, I'm like, get off of me. Like, I don't take it seriously because I don't take myself seriously. Right, like, how can you see me as beautiful?
And it's like your body isn't awake. Like, you know what I'm saying? It's like when you work out, when you're moving, like, your body is, like, awakened to the senses.
It is. Girl, come on now. I just realized that.
That's a tangent. That's a whole tangent right there. Okay.
We got to bookmark that one. But working out, because I love my body enough to do this. Mm-hmm. This is for you. And so it's how I feel. And then you start working out and then you see the results.
Yes.
So sometimes we get driven on the results, but I'm talking about the process and itself. The process in itself, I feel good in this process. Like, I'm sweating. I find that I'm working myself out.
And you're pushing yourself further than before.
Yes.
So it's like you can see not only the progress physically, but just the progress as far as what you can do.
Yes.
Yeah.
So let me ask you something.
Okay.
What have you seen growing up with other family members or people growing up that you admire that they've taken the time to do that you find yourself either doing or thinking about?
One thing I would say about my dad will always like fast on Sundays. And it would be like a thing where he would like be preparing for church. But he would, cause he, my dad's a pastor.
Yeah.
So, but he would be preparing his spirit and preparing his mind. And even just like, you know, disciplining his flesh to focus in and to press in on God's presence.
I love it.
That part, I was just like, that's so beautiful. And sometimes I find myself doing it without even thinking about it.
Yeah.
But just taking the time to discipline my body and to focus in on God's presence.
Wow.
Like, I think that's really big. But also, I would say preparing meals for myself and for my family, that's very rewarding.
Yeah.
When you actually slow down and you take the time and, you know, chop the green peppers and the garlic, like, and actually prepare the food. Because you know how they say, like, this meal was prepared with love?
Yeah.
Yeah. But it's, like, literally a process of, like, having love. So, like, oh, you know, Ashley likes, you know, brown sugar. So I'm going to put some brown sugar here. You know what I'm saying?
It's consideration.
Consideration. Yeah. You know, what do they like? What do they enjoy?
I love it. Yeah. I think that's beautiful. All the concepts, because those are things that kind of lace that you enjoy to do. And you've seen it pattern.
Yeah.
And it's something that you want to be able to, like, you know, aspire to, you know?
Oh, absolutely.
I had to bring up my dad too. So I'll bring up my mom and dad. Growing up, my mom was so much fun. And physically, she would go skating.
Nice.
We would go bowling. We would go dancing. And I just love how flexible she was. So we would have a house full of people.
Yeah.
They would have coffee. We would do a limbo. Limbo. We do a little limbo. Yeah. And then we do a little line, soul train line around the house.
Yeah, I love that.
And my mom attracted people, black, white. It doesn't matter who they were. They would come to the house. We would have coffee and we would have a ball. We would have fun. Nice. We would dance. And then she would be part of bowling leagues. So my mom would be on bowling leagues.
Let me find out.
Physically, she's bowling. We'll go skating. So my mom physically, and I think I've taken that on because I enjoy skating.
Yeah,
I enjoy bowling. Definitely. I just enjoy the physical things. And so sometimes with me and my husband, I'm like, we should go play tennis.
Yeah,
we ain't played tennis in years, but I just feel like we should play tennis.
Yeah,
and I've always I want to be physically engaged.
Yeah.
And so I think my love language, one of the things is like nature.
Mm.
With my getaways, like my mom just like find something, always do something. She'd be doing something different. She would even do tennis or walk outside of the track. I remember that. So that helps me when I'm trying to find an escape. I think I mentioned, like, I sometimes just try to find an escape, and it always lead me to outside.
For sure.
So I'm like, what can I do outside? Yeah. Like, even if I'm just sitting outside, I just want to be one.
Yeah.
My grandfather was the same way.
I love that.
Oh, my gosh. I just, like, my grandfather is such a calm, he was such a calm spirit.
Yeah.
But he would sit on the porch. He would literally, his body language would be so relaxed. He would drink his coffee. He would just look outside. He would garden and all of these things. And I tend to, like, slow down thinking about that.
Yeah.
Because even though he had so much on his plate, he didn't feel urged to move, to be always moving, always doing, the undoing.
For sure.
Like, I love to see him rest and chill because
that's so true.
You know,
and we're always so busy, but it's like getting busy, like being active and being busy are two different things.
That's it.
Because like being, like sometimes you can be too busy to go like work out or to even to prepare the right food.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But like, it's such an act of love to, like, take the time to prepare food for your family, to prepare, like, to exercise, to actually, like, get outside and to enjoy nature.
Yeah.
And it's such a rewarding experience.
You feel full.
Yeah, like, it gives back to you.
Yes.
Versus, like, you know, just sitting at a computer all day.
Yes.
You know, it's a different experience.
Yeah.
And one thing, like, I've even learned from my husband is, like, he'll get out and he'll do gardening.
Yes.
And, you know, he'll, you know, have flowers and vegetables and, you know, just preparing food, like, through the earth.
Yes.
But even just the act of, like, taking, you know, picking up the, like, burning wood or whatever that might
it's
look
important.
Like. It's like just getting outside is a different experience. And then you get that vitamin D from the sun.
Yes.
Like, you get that fresh air.
Yes.
So it literally gives back to you, but it also invites what you call it, like community and involvement with your family and relationship.
Yeah, because we're not meant to be in a house all day.
Yeah,
that's the way the technology has set it up. Where you know, we're watching. That's why we're so frustrated.
Yeah,
because we don't have the outburst. We don't have the output to what we should be going out to do. Like I feel like outside is like God's playground.
Yeah,
and so God is like, come play. I want y'all to play. And we sitting there like, oh, Netflix, the series just dropped.
Girl.
And God is like, come outside. I had the sun. I prepared this.
It's beautiful.
I prepared a place for you.
It's never the same either.
It's never
like
the same.
The sky is always different. Every day is always unique.
If it was up to me,
yeah,
I would work 3 hours.
Yeah.
And I would spend the rest of the day outside. Yeah. I would say, hey, girls, let's go this. Let's go to the water. And I'm learning how to enjoy my community, too. Like, what we have, the hidden gems, like the beaches and stuff like that. Because I find, too, when we do these things of health, you know, health-wise, if we're talking about health, mental health, I'm always looking to escape. But when we think about escape, we got to think about the beaches that's out in the, like, many miles away. Right. I got to get on the plane. But I'm like, God, take me to places where I can just literally get in my car 2 minutes away, 5 minutes away. How can I want to be a good steward of the escapes that he's giving me. And so I'm like, I don't necessarily, I'm like, I tell my husband, we got a beach right on the corner.
Over the escapes that you have given me. That.
Like, I don't got to buy a plane ticket. Yeah. Sometimes we feel like that. And we don't, that's why we always want a vacation. Like, sometimes people think, I need a vacation, I need a vacation. It's always like, I need a vacation, I need a vacation. I know I say that a lot. I say it to my husband a lot. My husband's so sweet. He'd be like, okay, well, just let me know where you want to go, when you want to do it, I'll set it up. Because he's so good with that. But then I was like, let me be a good steward of where God has us planted. Yes. God planted us here for a reason. So I need to find out what's around here. And when I did that, and when we did that, we found out there's two beaches around here.
Nice.
There's beautiful libraries. There's beautiful places, playgrounds, all these places, parks, nature that I love. And I'm like, I need to do more of this.
And it's really the power of community. Because even if you look back probably like 50 years ago, 100, you don't have to go that far back.
Yeah.
But like, there's literally so much power in just engaging with the people around you, the places around you, whether it's a library or a park or like a class, like a local class at the, you know, at the church or at the rec center or whatever.
Community.
You know, community. And then that feeds your health, your physical and your mental health.
Yes,
because now you're talking to people. Now you're engaging with people.
Yes,
I love it.
And when we close ourselves in, that's why the pandemic hurt us so bad.
Yeah,
it's the closing off of people and the closing off of places, and we created this prison.
Yeah,
because what home is not supposed to be something that you occupy all the time.
Come on,
like, we work from home now. We do all these things, but it was never meant.
You might need to say that again.
You know what I'm saying? We're not, because of prison. Not supposed. Home was never meant. To play that part.
Yeah.
Home is supposed to be a place where you rest and where you do also do these things. You replenish, but you're not supposed to stay here all day.
Well, the crazy part about that is literally creating, and I see it, because I don't think we've recovered from the pandemic.
No. We're still
like, definitely not the schools.
We're still trying. Definitely not our the kids. Families. No.
But like, even just the mindset of like being at home and not going out, not visiting friends, not visiting
people.
Family members, not seeing people, not, you know, just staying within your four walls.
With your
me
people.
Me and my four no more. With your people.
Yeah.
Right? Like, don't talk to me. I think we haven't gotten out of that mindset. No. But I mean, the interesting thing is like, I feel like I'm getting there. Like, personally.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm literally getting there. Because even just, just even like being in my room. Like, I don't even like being in my room by myself anymore that. Like, and I remember
But did you like that before?
I did.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I did. And I honestly, because we had this conversation a few months ago, I really was identifying as an introvert.
Oh, yeah.
For years.
But I didn't see that in you as...
You said that.
No, I didn't see you as that, but...
I've probably for like a good 10 years.
Wow.
Maybe like 5 to 10 years.
Yeah.
Long time. But the crazy part is like, I went over a few years
long
ago.
Long time.
My mom gave me this file folder. It's like those expandable accordion files. Okay. So I had some paperwork in there from high school.
Okay.
When I took a personality test.
Oh, wow.
And guess what it said?
What'd you say?
I'm an extrovert.
See? But your younger self, no.
Yeah, that was me in high school.
Your
but you're absolutely
know.
Right, because I was like vice president of the African American club.
See?
I was like the director of the gospel club.
Yeah.
Like, we didn't even have no gospel club or African American club,
wow.
But we made one.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But
so you created and you were leading, and that takes extrovert energy and actually to do those things.
100%. But I think I kind of regress into like being, because it's easy for me to be introverted, because it gives me a space to be timid. A space to, I don't have to deal with nobody. I don't have to change nothing. I don't have to deal with no conflict.
Yeah.
I'm good over here in my little corner.
Yeah, because you're untouched and unbothered and not disrupted.
Right. But it wasn't real. Like, it wasn't sustainable.
You create your own false thing, right? Like, don't touch. It's like a glass house.
Yeah.
I don't want y'all to touch this space right now that I'm in. But if we...
That's good. That's a good point, because a glass house is fragile.
Yes. It's like... Don't touch this. Yeah. But that's another thing about bringing other people in.
Yes.
Because people touch things.
Yes.
And sometimes we don't want to be touched.
Listen.
Like, I know, like, I mean, we're parents. Sometimes people, not just kids, but people we bring in will touch things. Yes. And sometimes we don't always want to be touched in those areas. And if you're comfortable in places, people will make you uncomfortable because they would touch, and they might not even be intentional about it. They may say something to you that trigger you. So in your own space, you're not triggered.
No.
But when other people come into play, there's trigger.
So, okay, so I can attest to that.
Yeah.
So I hired a coach, a fitness coach.
Yeah.
She touched all the wrong places. Listen, okay.
I got a testimony.
But so you know when you're doing a set and they're like, okay, one more, and you're like, no, I got no more in me. But it's like if I was by myself, I wouldn't have done it.
You would have given yourself a pass. You would have gave yourself a pass. But like, I tried.
Like, okay, I'm good. I did 15 minutes on a treadmill. I'm done.
That's the beauty of a
trainer. But it's like I couldn't. So she had this app, so I had to literally like check off. I did it.
Yeah.
And I couldn't
lie.
I couldn't lie. I couldn't be like, I did it if I didn't do 30 minutes of cardio.
Because it does something to your mind too.
Yeah.
Because your mind knows.
Yeah.
It's kind of like conviction.
Right.
Like, exactly. I can say yes, but my mind knows it's a no. Right. So I might have to say no.
I just have to do it.
Yeah. Or do it.
Right.
So that's great because that's the beauty of community and mental health.
Absolutely.
We have to be able to
push each other.
Acknowledge that we need community. I know like people, like you said, people are introverts, but we have to, because if you're creative, like I find myself to be an artist in a sense of poetry and all those things, but I've learned that when I'm out, I can do the things, I can be inspired creatively by people operating in their gifts. And I ain't gotta do nothing. I'm just there. I'm like, oh, I'm inspired.
You're receiving.
I'm receiving. I'm inspired by this song. I'm inspired by the way they did this. It. And then I can go back into my own personal space and create.
Yes.
But unless I'm in a place, that's why church is important.
Yeah, so true.
Because people don't think they need church. Yeah. But you can have church by yourself.
For sure.
But you can come into the open where there's fellowship of people who are believing. And their belief gets on you.
Yes.
You go back home and you exercise your faith.
It's like
that.
It literally gives you strength or gives you courage.
Yes.
Or like it shows you that connectivity where, okay, Ashley's going through the same thing I'm going through. Okay, we both crying out for God. Like, I don't know what she's dealing with, but we both go off today because God is good.
And let me tell you, one thing about that thing is because of mental health and community we have, you can only charge what you have.
Yeah.
So if you got 5% charge, I don't care if you hook yourself up to something, you're going to give yourself 5%. But when you get a community where there's people that's charged, people have
that's
the
good.
Ability to charge you in a way that you couldn't charge yourself.
That's so good.
Sometimes we by ourselves, you're going to limit yourself to only what your strength can do.
My God.
Right? So you like, I want to do this, but I'm going to try to do it by myself because that's what we do, because we don't want to bother nobody.
Right.
We don't want nobody else involved. Right. We want to be self-sufficient.
We want to be strong on our own, which is operating in pride.
And like, but if we look back, if we look and say, where does this gotten me?
May
have gotten you far, but it's not getting you to the place God wants you.
Yeah.
So we limit ourselves when we just want to stay in this little state of where we are. But when we start allowing people, we actually connect to charges. We charge.
So
and it's like, now we can bring something full vision because we have the community. And that's the same thing with mental health. And when we talk about body image.
Yeah, all of it.
We need people to pour into us. I'm like, girl, you look good today. You lost weight. We don't know that just looking at us. Have you ever
that's
looked at yourself and you didn't realize you lost weight?
Yeah.
But you get in front of somebody, like girl, you lost weight. Like, they don't know nothing about your health journey. They ain't know you've been working out. They ain't know you've been watching what you eat. Right. You need that connection.
That's
like,
so true.
Girl.
Yeah.
So that mental health and that image is only as good as you allow yourself to be exposed.
Right. That's right. And even the Bible says it's there's safety in the multitude of counselors.
Yes.
So it's like, who do I need to counsel me and to support me and to advise me, encourage me in this area?
Yes.
So let me surround myself by counselors or by people that can give me good advice or good wisdom, right?
Yes.
That can strengthen me in my journey.
Absolutely.
So whether that's physical health, mental health, you know, therapy, I've literally reached out the other day like, okay, let's try to find
good.
A therapist, you know? So, like, you know, therapy, spirit, like you said, pastors, church,
friendship.
You know, friendship is big because friendship is just like one of those, it's like one of those ebbs and flows where we could be, we're just on a journey together.
Yeah.
And it could be literally, oh, you got some sugar.
Yeah.
Or it could be like, yo, we need to get out the house.
Yeah.
Like, it could be a range of things.
Yes.
You know, but that you can pull from.
Yeah,
from
and you could be honest.
Yeah.
Because I think sometimes we could be honest with ourselves, but then it's like, we sound crazy. Like, this sounds crazy to me. But I need somebody to talk it out with because it still may sound crazy when I talk it out. But at least I have somebody to talk it out with where I'm not just reflecting on my own thoughts. Right. I can only give myself my thoughts. Yeah. I can't give myself your thoughts. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. And we're all created in the image of God. Yeah. So it's like you get a little bit more of like God's thoughts as we come together like and sound things out together.
Yes, yes,
it's not
yes.
good for man to be alone.
That's it. Yeah. And that's where image barriers. So that's the thing. Like we're always bearing the image of God.
Yes.
And so I think in this time of being a woman, I would say it used to be hard.
Yeah.
Because the expectation to look good all the time.
Yeah.
To look good, to lose weight. Don't show this angle because
your house
got to
be perfect too.
Purse got to be perfect. Husband got to be happy. You know, everybody got to say nice things about me. You know, the image of that is hard to keep up and people have lost their lives doing that.
For sure.
Right? Because they realize it's not sustainable.
It's not real.
It's not real.
Because everybody's jacked up. Like, everybody, to some degree, everybody is.
If we take this camera upstairs right now and y'all see our kids showing off and whatever they doing, I'm telling you, we all got stuff. It look good down here. But upstairs it's a circus.
It's a jungle out
there. It's a jungle. But I am okay with the jungle. I'm okay with the jungle. Let me tell you why. Because I realized too that we don't give our kids, we actually hurt our kids when we want them to fit in our image.
For sure.
Because our image is all packaged and it's all polished. And then we're like, you can't get dirty. But sometimes we find out who we are when we're dirty.
That's right.
We're all dirt anyway, so we all come from dirt. So we need to be dirty in a sense where we need to be authentic. Not to say that you can't.
Well, that's
be
the
messy.
Thing. It's like that's what Jesus came for.
Yes.
So it's I think it's 2 Corinthians chapter 12, and this scripture keeps jumping out at me like all month long. He said, "My weakness is a portal. Your weakness is a portal for His power."
It's amazing.
Like my weakness is a portal for God's power to show up.
That's amazing.
So it's like doors can open when His weakness, when my weakness shows up, like doors can open for Him to show up in me. So even in my health journey, like, you know, when you're like, you know, you got these weights and it's like, what am I doing sitting here with these weights? What is this about? So, you know, you pushing up and it's like, okay, 5 more. It's like, what? I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
And then if you remember that and you think that out, like, it's like, you're not doing it on your own strength. You're not alone.
No.
In mental, whether it's physical, your physical health journey, your mental health journey, like, you're not alone.
And you're making history with yourself.
Yes.
And that's just like when I'm on that Peloton sometime, I'll be like, I did 30 minutes before.
I did this.
I can do this. Yes. Like I've done this. I've done hard things before. It didn't kill me.
That's
like I can do this. So I think when we make history with ourselves and when we talk about the health thing, it's so funny because I grew up, I tell people like I grew up with high cholesterol when I was younger. Mm. And so my mom was telling me all the things that I needed to eat. Mm. She was like, you can't eat this. You can't eat that. You can't eat fried foods. I didn't eat fried chicken until like I was near high school.
Wow.
I didn't eat
cheeseburgers.
You know,
I was like,
this is what I've been missing out on. But I was very, like, my mom told me once, and she said, you stuck with it the whole time. Like, I knew what I could eat. That's why I didn't like fast food for a long time, because I couldn't eat things that was like fast food. Mm. So I always like home-cooked meals. So when we go to, like, the buffets or something, I would order the adult meal because I wanted roast beef. My palate was just different as a kid because it had to be.
Yeah.
So I didn't have a palate for burgers or pizza. Well, I hated pizza. I hated when my dad and them ordered pizza. I'd be like, y'all just lazy. How you want to cook dinner? They sent me to bed one time because I told them they were lazy and they just want to cook pizza and make pizza. And I was like, they should have been cooking
How
dinner.
How dare you?
And they threw me upstairs and was like, you're on punishment. But so now that's why my palate has, I have a certain palate. Me and Chris go out, like if we eat out too much, I told Chris even on vacation, I'm like, I can't smell grease right now. Like I can do grease 2 days. I can't do grease 3 days in a row.
Right.
Because I can't. My body don't take it because I'm not used to that.
Yeah.
And so growing up too with the refrigerator, my parents didn't let us go in the refrigerator by ourselves.
Yeah.
So we couldn't. We had an axe.
Yeah.
So now my kids, because my mom and it was actually monitoring what we ate.
Mm.
So it's like they knew what we were eating. So if they go to the doctor, what did they eat? They could tell you exactly because I had to ask permission.
For sure.
And so my mom had us on a certain pattern. And so that showed up in my life. And then I got married and Chris is like, snacks, snacks, snacks. Mm. I'm like, what is snacks? Because I don't buy snacks. We ain't had snacks. We ate meals, okay? We ain't had snacks.
Oh,
like we ate breakfast, lunch, dinner. If you wanted something, you need to figure it out between one of the meals, right? You want snacks, you better wait till breakfast come around.
Eat an orange.
After dinner, you want snack?
Right.
Breakfast is a couple of hours away. So we didn't have that. So growing up with someone, even get married with Chris, I've learned the beauty of snacks. Like once I got tapped into snacks, it's hard to unsnack. It's like, oh, we can get cookies. We can get this. So when I go grocery shopping, they used to hate when I go grocery shopping because I go for food.
Listen.
I mean, y'all can make a sandwich.
Okay.
No, we just want some chips. Oh, well, it's a sandwich meat in there. Y'all can get some, cut some fruit up.
Right.
So I had to learn, but that was, I mean, I wouldn't say it was a bad learning for me. I'm going the opposite direction.
Yeah.
So we grew up with not eating out.
Okay.
Some Sundays we'd go out because everybody from church would go eat out. But fast food was not in the plans. We didn't eat fast food. So growing up, that messed with me. So, you know, health-wise is good. Yeah. But, you know, that's just some of the things that I learned that I'm carrying with me even now. When I was pregnant, that was a whole mess. Because I was hungry when we were traveling, but yeah. I didn't want to eat nowhere. Because I was like, I don't want I don't want that grease. And I'm still a pain for Chris when we go out. Because my place got to be, was it Farm to Table?
Yeah.
Be Farm to Table restaurant. I'm like, look at the review. No, is it right. fresh?
Listen.
I don't want that. So Chris,
okay.
We got to go where the Farm to Table is because I need fresh food. So Chris said, like, your favorite word is fresh, fresh, fresh. Because I want it fresh. So I think that played a part too. Like growing up, my grandfather had a garden. We had tomatoes, all our green beans, all of our stuff came from there. My grandmother used to pick greens. So all of those things that you grew up with health-wise, you know, you do pick it up. You carry it. That's why they look at your you know, what did your mom used to eat and stuff like that. And
that's kind of how I was, like, we grew up with more so convenience food.
Okay.
It wasn't necessarily snacks. Like, it would be like sandwiches.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you know, ham, cheese. Like, we'd be like, oh, we don't have no food. My dad be like, you have ham, cheese, bread.
Yeah, McDonald's at
mayonnaise,
home.
Mayonnaise, mustard. I'm like, mustard is not a meal.
We cannot put this together, but I did make some mayonnaise sandwiches. I don't know about you.
Oh yeah, bananas and mayonnaise?
I never tried bananas, but I did
bananas
try bananas.
And mayonnaise is banging.
Is it good?
Yes.
So you got to be creative. You got to go without to be creative.
Listen,
okay, these painting kids, they never go without.
They ain't never.
So they ain't that creative. It's nothing to eat. It'd be a whole pantry full of stuff.
And
I'm like, did y'all know? The Pop-Tart. This the power of what you can put together to make this a whole meal. They don't know.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I think that sometimes the health journey, sometimes we pattern, but it does have to do with our image. And sometimes people eat as a comfort because of how they feel.
Oh, that's good. So, as far as, like, eating for comfort, like, I noticed, and this was, like, she was more, like, a more emotional eating coach, which I really honestly don't even know what that is, but it's just, like, that was kind of the journey we went on.
Okay.
But
that's where we were.
That's kind of the space we were in, but it was... I was listening. I think I might have mentioned this before, but it's like how you grew up basically dictates the snacks that you reach out for, or like the types of foods that you reach out for when you are feeling a certain way.
Wow.
So like if you're not processing your emotions in a healthy way, then you might reach out for like food. Like I think I was maybe bored or stressed. And then I realized this was not that long ago. It's like maybe a couple months ago. I realized like I'm not even hungry. I'm just like snacking. Like, I'm in the refrigerator. Like, oh yeah, I'll have some popcorn. Oh, I'll have a snack sandwich. Oh, let me eat some of it. Like, I'm like, I'm not even hungry.
I don't even want it. I just...
I'm just bored or stressed or... Yeah, comfort. Exactly.
I do it with coffee.
Yeah.
Sometimes I'm like, I don't even need
good,
the coffee. But I do drink it. Like, I'll be like, oh, I'm stressed. Let me make some coffee. And it's like... My mom did the same thing.
Yeah.
It's like that was her go-to. So I've learned that. It could be different. Like people could be like, oh, let me give me a drink.
Yeah.
And then it's like, so I grew up with the coffee thing.
That
like,
too,
you know, she made coffee when she was stressed. I make coffee when I'm stressed. We both look at each other sometimes when Krista start driving us crazy, which is my 2-year-old. She look at me, we go, you want to put coffee on? That's our go-to. You want to put the pot on? But it's all of a sudden it does something in my mind. It's like, it's a stress-free thing, you know? So I think we do make these attachments to things.
But you know what, though? The crazy part about that is sometimes it has the opposite effect.
Yeah.
Like with the coffee. Because sometimes, like, I'll take one sip and I'll be like, ooh, okay, too much.
Yeah, we don't know it. We just be doing it. We just feel like it's going to be.
Because
some people may drink tea, which is makes more sense for calmness because sometimes, like, green tea or something is more calming.
Yeah, yeah.
But coffee just so happened to be the thing that we pull on, which I could start veering off the tea.
Yeah.
But I think that our image, the images of what we're expected to be is exhausting.
Yes,
and I'm hoping
is.
That we, as women especially, men too, just able to drop the image.
For sure.
And pick up whatever, like you can start over. Like, I know that my dad has these expectations from women. My dad is like, women should do this, women should do that. And I always confront him and said, whatever woman you have in mind, that's not the woman I am.
Right, right.
That's not who I am.
Listen.
That's not what my husband expects of me.
Yeah.
So my dad would try to put things on me as far as women. I'm like, my husband don't expect it out of me.
Yeah.
And this is what I bring to the table.
Yeah.
And so I don't let them put things on me. Like,
for sure.
One thing about me, I would say with my... being a rebel growing up, I was always like, always, nah, that's where Kristen gets it from. But I'm like, you're not going to put your image mm-hmm. on me of what you want from me. Sure. I'm going to get my own image.
Absolutely.
And it may not be this. Like, I may be on a journey. But at this point, when my dad say things like, women should do this. Yeah. No. I don't know what woman you have in mind, but don't put me in that category. Because I'm my own person.
And it's I think what I hear you saying is, like, I'm taking a step away from the expectations of everyone else.
Yeah.
And sometimes that means pausing and, like, looking at myself and saying, okay, what is it that I need?
Yeah.
Mentally, physically, emotionally. Do I need coffee or do I need water?
Yes.
Do I need coffee or do I need a nap?
A nap. Most of the time it's a nap.
It's a nap.
Absolutely. And sometimes when I'm cranky, I'm like, listen, I need some drinks, some water. Yeah. Like, let's drink water first. Mm-hmm. And then let's readjust and let's reassess how we feel.
And sometimes it's literally just quiet.
Yeah.
You know, because sometimes, like, I'll sit down and I could just be quiet for 2 minutes, and then I'll be like, you know, I need to just, it's me. It's not anything else around me. It's just me. Almost, I need to calm down.
All the time it's me. I would say 95% of the 95%. Time it is me.
Yeah.
But the other 5%, I am taking them into account where, like, why I just need to get away from that. But most of the time I'm checking me, because sometimes it is an internal thing, war going on.
Yeah, for sure.
But they're just playing a part in it. They're just touching the internal war. But I'm like, oh, let me take a break. Yeah.
And everybody is happier typically if I'm happy and if I have peace and if I'm doing my work.
Yeah.
Right. Then I can create a happier home.
Yes.
A happier marriage. Yes. A happier Nora. Yes. Like, all the things.
I agree.
So what should we leave the people with today?
I mean, we talked about a lot. The image. Yeah, we talked about background and all of that.
Yeah.
But I think the theme of this is also just making sure that we are going to God for what he wants us to be.
Oh, absolutely.
What he wants us to do, and investing in ourselves.
Yeah.
Like, don't be afraid to invest in the things that you need to make it, not only say a better person, a better version of yourself, but the version that God wants for us, like our best version.
Yeah.
And you can literally outgrow your best version to the next best version of yourself.
For sure.
So I would just say, invest and first evaluate and then invest in the areas that would contribute to you being your best self.
Yeah, for sure. Invest the time to figure out what it is that you need and what's going to make you better. Invest the money.
Yes.
Like, what better investment is there than you? And you'll be wealthier, you know, mentally, physically, emotionally, financially, all the things because you've taken the time to invest in yourself.
I love it. So this has been great for me. I needed this.
This has been good. I needed this conversation.
Yes.
Thank you, Ashley.
Thank you.
I got some nuggets today.
I love it.
Appreciate it.
And thank y'all. Y'all make sure y'all follow us on Instagram, follow us on YouTube. If you are listening, definitely look at the video because I wanted y'all to see the jacket, but we're also going to put it on the Instagram.
Hey.
And thank y'all for joining us, and we'll see y'all next time. This has been another episode of I Needed This.
I Needed This.